KMOX at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, happy 2021, and thanks for stopping by. I'll be taking the Good Gardening Stroll shortly, but right now, if you have any questions about your yard, your landscape, or anything else, as Brian and I were talking before he went on air with the news, all of us have spent so much time at home, we're getting tired of looking out at the same things in our landscape, so maybe it's time to think about some changes and stuff like that. But anyway, the number is 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. James is producing today, so when you call, he will answer the phone. He needs your first name and where you're calling from. And Mr. Kelly, before you take off.
Yes, sir.
New Year's resolutions?
Well, I do need to lose some weight, and I need to get back into tackling my physical fitness, shall I say, more so than I did in the last year. Last year was just tough.
Really?
Although even before, you know, I fell on the ice, and so, you know, that it's hard, like, it hurt my side. It's not bad, but, you know, it kept me from lifting for a couple of weeks. And then it's just like, oh, I'm not in the mood. And that, you know, you kind of get in that malaise a little bit once in a while.
Sure.
So I need to light that fire again. And I'm trying, man. I'm going to start with a trainer again coming up. And so, you know, they try to kill you. And so that gives you a good reason to fight to stay alive. So
you're not lifting weights outdoors, are you?
Well, actually, I am. Because my gym is out in our barn. And so I'm outside. I got a couple heaters. And by the time you get going, it gets warm enough that, yeah, it feels pretty good. But it's just hard to, you know, when it's cold out and you're sitting inside, it's like, do I really want to go outside and do that? You know, it's like, yeah, you really do. No, I don't. So, it's a good angel on the one side and the devil on the other.
You flip a coin?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's tails.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out. Thank goodness.
Either that or when Sue wants to watch one of her shows, she kicks me out. That makes it easier. You know, I want to watch Real Housewives. I'll go lift. Bachelorette's on. I'll go lift. You know, it works out that way.
Well, great. Well, I'll see you a little later.
Do you have any resolutions?
Not really. You know,
yeah.
I think whatever happens, happens, sort of. I used to try to think, and we were talking earlier, too. You make these resolutions, and then you start thinking about the resolution more than actually doing it, and then you sort of blow it off, and
mm-hmm.
So I just don't do it. Anymore.
It's all in the head, man. It really is. It's all how you approach
right.
it. Yep.
And my head is empty.
X-rays find nothing.
Right, exactly. It is Saturday morning, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion about what's impacting your yards, your landscape, and everything else. And how about your houseplants? How are they doing? And you want to improve some things? Should you be doing any kind of pruning? Should you be watching out for any kind of insects or anything like that? It's amazing. We get these cool days where the insects disappear, they hide out and everything else. And as soon as it warms up, like I think Brian said, or the news guy, or the weather guy said, it was going to be 40 tomorrow. So that means there's going to be some insects coming out and checking out things. And basically what I try to do is give you some information that you can make some good decisions with and help solidify your options. With the final judgment, obviously going to be up to you. And this is your show, and I certainly appreciate you inviting me into your home, car, or wherever you happen to be listening. As I said before, a very important player in this game is James O'Sullivan, and he's producing. He pushes all the buttons and everything else, and all I have to do is stand here and blab, 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 blab. And I'm Mike Miller. I've been doing the blab, blab, blabs here on the Garden Hotline since 1994. And I can come to your home and do landscape consultations if you like. I call them a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and my homepage will have an email address and phone number where I can be reached. Well, let's get moving. Today's stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Embraced by Microphylla buxus. In other words, little leaf boxwood, and accented with a giant arborvitae. That's green giant arborvitae. Those are the ones that get really massive. And the boundary is a 6-foot-high wrought iron fence with lights running along the top of it. There is a 40-foot-high tree, and it's actually a light tree, green lights, so it looks really pretty good. And there's a crystal globe on the top. And wow. large open lawn area, and it's backdropped by Marvin and Helene's Wools Center. And where am I? I'm at the corner of Grand and Lindell. And this is Ellen Clark Sculpture Park from St. Louis University. I think this spot was originally a dog park, and now it's become a sculpture park. And it's filled with uplighted all kinds of modern sculptures of various shapes and colors and sizes. And just a little bit to the north of that on Grand, that's where the Fox Theater sits. And it's really sad and lonely to see the Fox. And, you know, it's been a long time since there's been any, you know, anything that I know of there. So we used to go there quite often and see lots of different events, but can't do that anymore. Also around, there's a classic cathedral across the corner. I guess that would be southwest of where this sculpture park is. And this morning, it was really kind of hazy and everything else. It wasn't bad as far as it wasn't slick or anything, but just the haze was, I'm just getting a little bit tired. Isn't winter going to be over soon? Oh, it just started about a week or so ago, so get real with this. So if you have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Again, happy 2021.
Weekday mornings at 8:30, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors provide perspective on KMOX and KMOX.com.
Yes, folks, we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. It's a good time to have a tree service come out. Take a look at your trees and see if they need to be, let's say, some branches taken out, some new growth that's not necessary taken off. Basically, letting professionals do it, it's just like anything else. Certainly, you can get a pole pruner or a chainsaw and go after it yourself. But if you don't exactly know what you're doing, sometimes you can cause more problems than good. So just realize that, especially with trees. Now, with shrubs and things like that, it's not quite as dramatic, but with trees, you could create a real nightmare for your trees just in general. But for the most part, this is a good time to prune or deadwood or limb up or whatever it happens to be your trees. Personally, I like to do the maple trees and the maples, beeches, and birches in the summertime because of the way their sap flows in the wintertime. But obviously, it can be done anytime. No pruning sealers needed. Pruning sealers anymore don't do anything helpful at all. Days of old, they used to have lead in them, but they have no lead in them anymore because of everybody's environmental concerns. So it just doesn't really do anything whatsoever. But just watch out, too. Some of the wildlife can start doing some damage to especially young trees. And I'm not just talking about deers with the antler male antlers, you know, rubbing the trees to mark their territory and all that other stuff. There's other wildlife that can do some damage also. So anyway, let's head to the phones and let's go to Christina. And she lives in St. Louis. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
I was calling because I have two hydrangeas and my house faces west. And they have not bloomed in 3 years.
Basically, how do you know how old they are?
They're 3 years old. I planted them when they were, they came from the store. I planted them. They grow on new wood.
And you're not doing any pruning, are you?
No.
Okay. So it just may be, you know, initially, they probably have flowers on them, but a lot of times, especially when things are coming out of production nurseries, they know how to kind of manipulate various things to make it so you're going to ultimately see what the flowers are going to look like, whether you're going to get the PG hydrangea, which has the round snowballs, or you're going to get the ones that have flat, you know, more or less umbels of flowers. But probably my thought is if the foliage looks good, everything looks good, and there's plenty of moisture, you know, you don't want them really wet, but they're not underneath the eave of the house or something like that, then it's just a matter of age more so than anything. So in other words, it's just you're going to have to wait for a little bit. I don't know how big they were when you got them, but if they were relatively small, you could have to. You're going to have to wait for a couple more years.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Yeah, it's just, you know, that's the thing. A lot of times, you know, production nurseries, I fully support them and everything else, but they kind of set up an environment, and it's not just with hydrangeas or things outdoors or anything else. A lot of times, even with houseplants and tropicals, you're going to have the impact of what ultimately is going to happen, but it could take a couple more years before they're going to get mature enough. And a lot of times, it's probably to the advantage of you/the plants if they don't flower when they're really young, because flowering of any type on any plant can really stress them out. So you're probably lucky that they haven't flowered, because this makes them stronger in general. As long as they're growing, everything looks good, that's all you need to worry about. And now let's head to Centralia and go into Don's yard. Hi, Don.
Hello, Mike. How are you doing this morning?
Very good.
Hey, I've got a question for you. I had a couple ash trees cut down in the backyard, though it's been about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Since then, it's been pretty clear. I planted Bermuda, and it's grown in. But over the last 6, 7, 8 months, I've got mushrooms that are growing back there. And I was just wanting to know what I could put down, because I get tired of going back there and cutting them out all the time. Do you have any suggestions?
There's nothing you can do, to be honest with you. The mushrooms are growing. Mushrooms grow on dead plant material. So the mushrooms that you're seeing are growing on the ash tree root systems that are finally starting to implode/rot, and that's why you're getting the mushroom growth. So there's not really anything that you can do to prevent that. They're going to keep going and keep, you know, you're going to continue to get mushrooms until finally the last of the root systems have entirely imploded/died, and then you'll stop getting the mushrooms.
Okay. Even though I've had everything, you know, the guy come in and cut all the stuff out, you know, the living tissue, I guess, will still be growing then, right?
Right. The root systems, they can grind the stump out. The stump is fine, but the root systems go beyond, you know, where the stump is. And if these were large ash trees, or even if they weren't large ash trees, still you got to understand that the amount of biomass above the ground, there's pretty much equal amount below the ground. And so it takes a long time for the root system to finally, let's say, die.
Okay, so try not to put anything on there and just kind of cut them out the best I can then, right?
Yeah, or just don't worry about them. I mean,
Well, that's probably what I'll do, too. Just let it go.
Yeah.
So it's not going to spread out.
No, they're not. They're going to only strictly grow on the, you know, ash tree root system. So it's not like they're going to move into your lawn and kill your lawn off or anything.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Well, thank you for letting me call in, Mike, and you guys have a good day.
Well, you do the same thing. And happy 2021. And now let's head to Susan, and she lives in Chesterfield. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Mike. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I have a question about periwinkle. We are trying to get it to be a ground cover. So we have two varieties. One is the small, darker leaf green with the purple flowers. Mm-hmm. And then this year we introduced another one that was a larger leaf, variegated, and it also gets purple flowers. I just didn't know if that... It doesn't seem like the one with the larger variegated leaves doesn't seem to be rooting into the ground.
Basically, it won't.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they will sell it as, you know, a ground cover, but it's really not, you know, technically or not truly hardy for this region because of the fluctuations in our weather and everything else. But what you can do is, I mean, that doesn't mean that you have to get rid of it or anything else. Just don't expect it to be expansive like the other variety, let's say the Vinca minor,
okay,
which is the regular periwinkle. And so the variegated one, what you can do is take like paper clips or something like that and push them down to, you know, let's say unbend the paper clip, push it down into the soil, and put it so the stem of the variegated periwinkle will pull the mulch away if they're growing in mulch, so it will be in direct contact with soil and, you know, get some roots going off the stem that way. But for the most part, it's not really a great, you know, great ground cover for here.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Sure.
They have such long runners, and I didn't know if I should be cutting those off now, or I should have cut them off in the fall, or what?
No, I would leave everything alone and just as much as it grows, just anticipate maybe the fact as it elongates, some of the original leaves are going to start to like drop off.
Okay.
So that's, but you know, get the stem in contact with soil, not in contact with mulch or anything else, and see if you can get it to root, and that will, you know, let's say lessen or minimize the amount of leaf drop there is as a result of that.
Well, thank you so much, and have a happy new year.
Yes, same to you. And now let's go from Chesterfield into University City and into Greg's yard. Hi, Greg. Hello, Greg.
Oh, yeah, I'm right here. Sorry. Okay. What I've got is a problem similar to a couple calls back with the root systems, and I've got an old piece of property, and on that property there's been like 10 trees or so that have been cut down over the last 5, 10, 15 years, and their root systems have turned that backyard into a real ankle breaker.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what kind of company would I approach to level this out, grade this out, you know, bring in dirt. What kind of dirt, and when can I do it?
Basically, you can get it done. I mean, it depends upon, if you do it now, then you're going to look at a couple months of, you know, more or less a sea of mud. So if you want to wait, just, you know, kind of live with and watch out about twisting your ankle or anything else until
exactly.
Things start warming up. And then, but basically, you can use lawn services or you can use landscape companies, either one. But they need to, like, turn the soil over, the existing soil, bring in some new soil, like a topsoil compost mix type thing, and then level it out. And then that's when you're going to either put seed in or sod or whatever you happen to choose to cover.
Yeah, so what you're saying, they're going to need to rototill the whole thing.
Right.
To get it a level surface, bring in if it's low.
Exactly.
Yeah, and start from there. And
right.
Do that.
If they don't do that, if they just bring in some stuff and just kind of level it without blending it in with the existing soil, then whatever kind of plant, you know, lawn, whatever it happens to be that you try to grow, it's not going to do well. So it's got to be blended with the existing soil.
Okay. Thank you.
Certainly. Yeah, it's when you have a lot of trees and you have the trees removed, I mean, some depending upon the tree, the health of the tree, the size of the tree and everything else, tree roots will stay viable. In other words, they'll still keep absorbing nutrients and moisture for any place between 3 and 7 years after the tree has been cut and the stump ground out and everything else. So it just depends upon and the soil situation and everything else. And it's just, you know, just one of those crazy nutty things. So, Greg, thanks a lot. And also, a lot of people have a lot of surface roots. And I live across the street, Tracy and I live across the street from Christie Park. And the city uses a big, you know, tractor, basically pulling the mower with it. And over the years, there's been a lot of trees that have surface roots. And people will call in and say, well, can I cut these roots off? Well, you really shouldn't probably cut the roots. But over the, you know, decades of them mowing, they've kind of sheared the top of the above ground growth of the root systems. And those are all healing. So in other words, there's a cambium layer for the above, you know, ground growth, but that same cambium layer works for the root systems too. So you can, you know, kind of like shave basically the top of the root system. It's not something I'd really advise you doing. I think you're better off just to plant a traditional type ground cover. But this is a city park, and this just is a good example of when you do cut the top of the root system, you're not cutting the roots off, you're just shaving the top of it that's above ground. The trees have not been adversely impacted as a result of that. So let's see. Let's get that was Greg, and let's go to Sue and Ladue. Sue, how are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Mine is probably a root question also. The neighbors to the south of us, actually 4 neighbors ago, planted bamboo.
Ooh.
Over like a tenth of an acre at least. And it has been marching toward our property.
Right.
It's kind of invading us, but it's on their property line. Is there anything I can do?
Basically, bamboo is a grass. So you could, anything that's coming into your yard, you can basically go after it a couple different ways. You can use a grass killer if you want, Or you can use something even a little bit more potent, and that'd be using Roundup for killing woody plants. And rather than spraying it on everything, just get the Roundup and then paint it on each individual stalk as it comes up. And then slowly but surely, you're never going to get it under control. And I'm going to tell you a story after I finish this. But that's about the only way you're going to get it, you know, get rid of it. I mean, you can dig it up. The roots are not all that deep on the bamboo. They're about 3 to 4 inches deep. And the runners go all over the place. So there's nothing, I mean, chemicals are going to be the best way to get it under control.
I'm kind of worried environmentally about Roundup with everything I've heard about its carcinogenic, you know, properties.
There's many different kinds of grass killers. This is a tough grass, so just realize that. So consequently, you're going to have to just, you know, get a small amount of a type and see how effective it is. The other thing is just digging the roots up.
Okay. Thank you very much, and happy, healthy New Year.
Well, same to you. And here's a story related to bamboo. When I worked at the botanical garden, the bamboo was very invasive in the Japanese garden. So a lot of times, even though I was in the woodland garden at that time, when they were going after the bamboo to get it under control before the Japanese festival or whatever it happened to be, we'd go down there and everybody from the grounds crew would help, you know, get it under control and make it look a lot better. So I took about 3 or 4 pieces of root system, any place between 12 and 18 inches long. And my parents lived in Ellisville, pretty big yard. And so I planted it in the far back yard. And that stuff just, first couple years, it was very mellow. Nothing really happened, all that. And then it exploded. And my father hated it. My mother loved it. And it was a total nightmare. So for Father's Day, that's what he requested, that when I came to their house for Father's Day, that I'd go in the backyard and dig up the bamboo roots and get it back under control. And still, the thing probably ended up being 30 feet wide and about 60 or 70 feet long. So, and then, you know, it's totally invasive and totally crazy. But anyway, so that's kind of how I spent Father's Day with my father. Anyway, Mike Miller, KMRS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Get ready for a football Sunday on KMOX as the Chiefs take on the Chargers.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
Pregame at 11, kickoff 12 noon. Hear it here, the Chiefs and Chargers on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Yes, folks, we've got phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Again, if you do have trees and you're into doing things when the weather is not too horrible, like today, it's not great, but it's not horrible, and the ground is not frozen, there's something called deep root feeding, and that's where you auger holes in the ground and backfill those holes with compost. And you could actually do it everywhere. You can do it in your lawn, but basically the whole concept was developed to fertilize the soil underneath trees, so you get a better soil and you get better tree growth as a result of that. So right now, let's go to Steve, and Steve lives in De Pere. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Mark. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Mike, I'm sorry. Back on the trees and the roots, getting rid of a very nice sweet gumball tree, but it's just playing havoc with my brick patio and everything else like that. And I know the roots last even after you cut the tree.
Right.
Is there anything that we can put in the stump of the tree to kill those roots quicker than just normal attrition?
I mean, there are things that you can basically drill and, you know, put down into the stump, but still it's going to take a long time for it to translocate from where you're pouring it in. You know, they're stump killers, basically. And so what that does is just sort of accelerate the process, a little bit more. But it's not going to make a dramatic amount of difference. So in other words, it's not going to make it so in 1 year you're not going to have any impact of the roots. You're going to maybe knock off a couple years from the length of time that would be normally for this particular tree. But that's about all it's going to do.
So I was considering taking up the patio because it's got rock and sand underneath it, and that's where the roots are really having a good time. but I don't want to do this a third time, so maybe I should not mess with the patio next year and try to get the roots curtailed and then maybe redo the patio the following year.
Yeah, you can certainly give that some consideration, but again, the feeder roots are the furthest, you know, roots extending out, and those are the ones that, you know, can still, you know, cause problems, let's put it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, that's a tough choice there. Let's go now to Barry's yard, and he lives in Afton. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Mike. A pleasure to speak with you. I've listened to you for quite a few years, sir, and thanks for the program.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
I figured out a way to... Pampas grass is part of the bamboo family.
Uh-huh.
I figured out a way to get rid of it.
All right.
You're probably going to think I'm full of stuff, but that's okay. Would you believe vinegar in a lawnmower?
Oh, really? So right after you cut it, then you just pour the vinegar on it?
No. Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And then what you do is you take it down as low as you can get it, okay?
Uh-huh.
If it's growing up, you take it down as low as you can get it. Then you take and I use one of them lawnmowers with the big wheels on the back. And what I do is bring it in, raise it up, and then lower it down on there, and then spray it with vinegar, straight vinegar, that is, and it took care of it.
Wow, great.
Yeah. So, I hope you don't think that I'm bizarre, but...
No. I mean, vinegar is a great control for a lot of different types of vegetation. I mean, in relationship to that type of plant, because the blades are fairly flexible, they're not woody like bamboo, so that's... You know, mowing bamboo with a mower, that could be some tough stuff.
True, but I just thought maybe, I didn't know if that woman had pampas grass or, you know, actually bamboo, but I thought I'd throw it out there.
Well, she seems to know what it is because it's been migrating from her neighbors.
Right. So. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, that's, you know, any kind of tip like that will help somebody else, and that's perfect. So thanks, Barry.
Thank you, Mike, and please have a wonderful new year, and it's always a pleasure to listen to you.
Well, great. Well, thanks. I greatly appreciate it. Now let's jump the river and go to Godfrey and see what's going on with Jake. Hi, Jake.
Good morning. I dug my elephant ears, and then I put them in a cardboard box and closed it up and put them in a dark room in the basement, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got a friend, dug hers, and put them in an open cardboard box in a back room where there is a minimum amount of light, but now they're growing, and they're like 2 to 3 feet tall.
Whoa.
So what should she do?
Basically, I mean, they're not going to do that. I'm assuming she got all the soil and everything off of them. So what should...
I don't know how clean she cleaned them, but they're not real clean, I don't think. Not all the soil, but, you know, clean most of it off.
Okay. Basically, what she can do is just cut those, you know, cut the foliage off that she's seeing and just make sure that it's, you know, in a dark circumstance. So put, a piece of...
Like a plastic bag maybe? Or
black plastic bag or something along that line. And just make sure that there's still air circulation because you don't want, you know, the plastic to create an environment where, especially right after she's cutting these roots or these leaves off, that it might create a bacteria or a fungus problem and cause some rot. So
right.
I would rotate all of them around, and I mean, she could even put them in a paper bag and roll the top of the paper bag down. So, but if she wants to leave them in the cardboard box, just, you know, get them out of the light.
The paper bag would be dark enough?
Yeah. So,
okay, yeah.
And just, I don't know how many she has or anything else, but just, you know.
Quite a few, yeah.
Turn it over at the very top and put some kind of clamp or clip on it and that to keep it shut.
Okay. All right. I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and also, hopefully it's not near, you know, I mean, heat also can kind of trigger growth, even if it's dark, because realize that these, let's say, elephant ears or any kind of tuberous-type plant, I mean, those are underneath the ground, and... You know, so it's got to be temperature related as well as light related. So if it's near a radiator or anything like that, then that's, you know, real problematic. So she's better off to put them in the garage where it's cool, you know, where it's going to be cool, than to leave them someplace where it's going to be warm, even if she gets rid of the light.
OK, Wouldn't it freeze in the garage if there's no heat?
As long as she's not, if you don't put them on the floor, if you keep them off the floor, then there shouldn't be a problem. And keep them away from the windows in the garage, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
Sure. Yeah, I bring my elephant ears inside, but I leave my can of tubers outside in the garage, and it's an unheated garage. I just have, let's say, they're not like closed baskets, but, some plastic racks, which used to be part of a shelving system, and I keep them about probably six inches or so off the floor of the garage, and then I just cover them with black plastic. So it seems to work pretty well. And now let's go to South City and see what's going on with Bob. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Mike? I had an occasion to find some mushrooms this past summer in the backyard. I don't know if you've ever heard of these things before, but they were about the size and almost the shape of a football. There was three or four of them. They were such a dark purple. They had almost black, and they had like a hard shell over them, and when you hit the shell, they just disintegrated into a powder, and the powder just went through the air, a purple powder.
Ooh.
And they didn't look good. They looked nasty, and I was really afraid of getting around breathing that air.
Wow, understandable.
But I've never seen a mushroom like that before in my life.
Yeah, I can't think of that. I probably have, but it's not something that's continued in my mind. So, but all that dust that you're seeing, those are spores. So
right.
you could be spreading it even more and more. But again, mushrooms only grow on dead stuff. So regardless of the type or anything else, that's basically when you get mushrooms in the grocery store, they're grown in a mushroom, let's say mushroom factory, where everything is dark. They're grown off dead plant, I don't want to say plant material, manure, or whatever it happens to be. So that's...
Well, these crazy things grew that size in like a week, because when I cut the grass the one time, they were not around.
Wow.
Next time I went back to cut the grass, they were there, and I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to try to figure out what they are, go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and see, and put mushrooms in and see if you can find out.
Yeah, I might do that.
Yeah, so it's Mobot, M-O-B-O-T .org.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good way. But a purple one, that's hard. I don't know that one myself. But anyway, thanks, Bob. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, we've got a couple of phone lines open in a few more minutes for this hour. So 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Belleville and see what's going on with Peggy's yard. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Mike. The front of our house faces north, and I have two vertical evergreens. And after listening to your show for a while, I realized they're planted too close to the house because they just go crummy on the inside and
right.
All the green falls off. I want to take them out, but what do I plant that will be near the house on the north side of the house and still look good? Any suggestions?
I would keep anything, several feet away from the house at the minimum, at least 6 feet away.
Oh.
So, I mean, anything any closer than that, it's just going to potentially cause problems, not major problems, but just aesthetic problems. So I don't know how big you want them or anything like that. I mean, if you want something evergreen, you can look at the globe arborvitae that grows in a natural round shape, and you never have to do any pruning or anything like that. There's a midget one, which only gets about 3 feet high, and the standard one gets about 4+ feet high, and it's, round. I mean, the classic yews, you can do that, and if you don't want them, it's going to get really wide, so you don't have to fool with them. The Hicks yew grows vertical and doesn't get any width to it beyond, let's say, 15 or 18 inches at the most. So, I mean, you could do something like that. Or, I mean, there's plenty of different deciduous type things you could grow facing the north as well.
Okay. Right now on either side of them, I have some endless summer hydrangeas, and they're beautiful all summer.
Right.
but those evergreens just make the whole thing look bad.
Well, maybe just take those out and see what you think, rather than trying to plug something back in there so quickly. And just let the hydrangeas, you know, infill that space. Maybe put a pot in there where you could put some, you know, seasonal color. In the wintertime, you could just, you know, go to your favorite garden center sometime in September and just get a small evergreen to put in there. And then at the end of the, you know, when winter's over and you want to plant something, you can put bulbs in there too, daffodils and tulips. And then, of course, you know, the summer annuals as well.
Oh, okay. Hadn't even thought of that. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. I mean, that's an easy way to do it. And, you know, a lot of the pots now, I mean, there's some classic looking ones, you know, the traditional, let's say, terracotta clay, but there's some of those high gloss blues and other things as well. So it's just a personal choice. Let's go from Belleville to Imperial and see what's going on with Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Mike. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it. Real quick, we have burning bushes on each side of our garage, and they do beautifully in the spring. They look lovely, but late in the spring, they start getting like these spider webs on them, and when I clean off the spider webs, then there's like this white, powdery, sticky substance, and I try to clean it all off with water, and then I end up, for the season, having like a hole in the bush where all the leaves fall off. And when we were putting the Christmas lights on this year, there was that sticky substance all over one section of them, all on the branches. And I don't know if that's a fungus or if that's some kind of insect.
That's an insect. And actually, when the insect feads, then when it pulls its proboscis out, then it leaves that sticky stuff.
Oh, okay.
So what you need to do is go to your favorite garden center and get something called dormant oil.
Okay.
And that's a horticultural oil that you spray. It's during dormancy. And it's probably going to take maybe 1 or 2 years of application. But go ahead and spray it. You know, read the label entirely and everything else related to temperatures and stuff like that. And then in this growing season, if you start seeing something that looks like this, then there is a summer weight horticultural oil. But right now you want to get the dormant oil.
Okay, and apply that like now, it sounds
like. Yes, right.
Okay, well, very good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure.
All right, thank you. Take care and God bless.
Uh-huh. Bye. And now let's go to Jim's yard in Webster Groves. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mike. I enjoy your show. My question is, we have a sugar maple. It's about 15 years old. And the bark is peeling from it on the trunk of it. Is the tree dying, or what's going on?
Probably, if it's 15 years old, my guess is as long as it looks healthy above the ground and everything else, it's just the trunk is expanding diameter-wise. Then the bark that was on there prior to the expansion is just, you know, peeling off. So I don't think it's...
Tree's not dying?
No, it's just a natural growth. Now, if split goes all the way in where you can start to see, let's say, the center wood, the heartwood of the tree, that's a little bit different. But right now, a 15-year-old tree, my guess is it can't be pretty much anything other than natural growth.
Okay, thank you very much, and Happy New Year.
Well, same to you. Yeah, so don't wrap it, don't do anything. 15-year-old healthy tree, don't worry too much about it. And let's see if we can get one more call in. Sandy in Granite City, how are you?
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have an amaryllis that I've had for several years, but this year the leaves came out first, and when I read on it, it said I should cut that off so the stem and the flower comes, but nothing has happened since I did that.
When did you cut them off?
Well, that was before Christmas because... Well, it's probably been about a month now.
Okay. Well, then you're pushing pressure on them. So it's just basically leave it alone, let it sit. Okay. Don't water it. Just let it entirely alone, and then slowly but surely you're going to start to see that flower spike come up out of the center of it. But a month is usually it's about 3 months. So if people that want them blooming around Christmas time, I tell them to cut them off in September. Cut the foliage off and just leave them sit, and then by 3 months you should have the flowers, you know, stalks coming up.
Well, I had cut all that off, and these leaves were coming up first, not the stem, so
right.
I read that I should cut that off too. So, okay, but it should survive.
Oh yeah, as long as it's, I mean, as long as it feels hot, you know, solid and everything else, it doesn't feel mushy or rotted, and no. Don't water, just leave it alone.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly. And I don't think we can get another call in. I'd put too much pressure. But again, things, if you have a bluegrass or fescue lawn and you think, oh, it's January, you may still have to do another mowing or two. And not only to get rid of the leaves that have accumulated from, you know, falling off trees that have blown in from who knows where, but also just to prevent the blades of your lawn from getting too long, because we're going to get these wet periods, and that's where the, you know, the winter fungus is, you know, is not deadly, but what it does is just kind of weaken your lawn just in general. And then when the weather starts warming up, then the really harsh fungus bacteria will start happening. So that's what we have to be concerned with, about preventing any kind of fungus from growing in our lawn this time of year. So Mike Miller, KMOS Garden Hotline, back after the news.
KMOX at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, Mike Miller on KMOX.
Yes, folks, happy 2021. And the Garden Hotline tip of the trowel, I'll be giving that shortly. But right now, you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. And Mr. Kelly.
Yo.
What about this year? Are you looking forward to it?
I am. And I was thinking, I was watching the Rose Bowl last night. Of course, it was played in Dallas, which is just horrific. And I thought, you know, it's a reminder that 2021 is a new year, but it's still got the leftover of 2020. So trying to stay positive. And I'm worried about these next couple months, because this is a time of year when you kind of get down anyway, because right. January and February are not a lot of fun and you can't do anything. And so I'm you know, thinking about what's going to happen over the next couple months, but just kind of take it day to time. I will tell you what, on New Year's Eve, I got out my computer and started looking at the pictures of our garden from this summer. And it wasn't anything planned. I just got it out, was looking at some stuff. We were checking out the vacations we've taken. And we just went through a whole bunch of pictures, and I have a bunch of them, of the hummingbirds and the green and the plants and the way it all started out really small and grew and filled up. And then, you know, and it really did help. So if you're kind of feeling, you know, this kind of weather, look at that. Just yeah.
Great.
You need some color. So maybe get out your garden pictures, you know, and go right. through them and just kind of get that. It's going to be okay. Eventually, it's going to be warm and sunny again. And it really helped. It brightens your day a little bit.
Right. Yeah. You're very much an optimist. One thing. I was curious. The other day, did you guys get the freezing rain?
We did, but it wasn't too bad. I came in yesterday at about 4, and I went out the front door because I put my foot on the back stoop and it went whoosh. And I right. thought, nope, I fell there last year. I'm not going there. So I went out front. I held onto the railing and stepped down and then walked in the grass to get to the car. But once I got on the roads, for me, it wasn't a problem.
Okay.
There were no, but some of the other guys, Brian Feldman and Tom Franklin, they came in and said they had a lot of ice on the way.
Really?
So down south where I was, it wasn't too bad. But other places, apparently, it was really bad in some spots.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Now, South City wasn't too bad either. Mm-hmm. I always take my early morning walk.
Uh-huh.
And there was only two spots where I was walking along not paying too much attention.
Yeah. And it happens like that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, be careful out there.
Yes.
Yes.
You too. And by the way, folks, thanks for having me on your show. And remember, this is your show, and if you were not there, I would not be here. And we can discuss plant selection, caring for, ups and downs related to annuals. It's going to be interesting to see. There's a couple houses in the neighborhood who's had really pretty good luck late in the season with their pansies. See what that ice did to their pansies. It wasn't a whole lot of ice. It was just thin. And the gentleman last hour called about he had a friend whose elephant ears, she had them inside, and they were starting to germinate some new growth. So how about your warm season, your summer bulbs, your cannas and your elephant ears and things like that? Or your fall season? Oops, There's those daffodils. I never got those planted. Wonder what I should do. Edibles, ground covers, house plants, lawns, perennials, roses. Do I need to cut back my shrub roses? Or how about my hybrid teas? How much mulch do they need? And how about those miniature roses? Do I need to put any mulch over those? Trees, shrubs, vines, or water gardens? I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take, but strictly offered for you to consider. James is producing, so when you call in, he's answering the phone, and consequently, he'll just need your first name and where you're calling from. During the week and weekends, sometimes I do walk-in talks, which is a landscape consultation. I come to your home, and I talk about things that you have a list of, you know, let's say concerns you have, and keep my eyes open for other things. I no longer do any kind of formal designs. It's 71. I can't do it. No. Anyway, I just decided I just don't do formal designs anymore, so it's strictly verbal consultation. So plant care, maintenance, and all that other stuff. Tip of the trowel, special recognition for individual group that's made an impression on me, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the trowel goes out to the road departments who put the brine on the roads in anticipation of possibility of sleet and things like that. So I greatly appreciate those, you know, guys. And also, even on New Year's Day, the trash trucks and recycling trucks and everything else, they were working. So they, you know, they want to keep up with everything. So tip of the trowel goes out to the road departments and the refuse departments for keeping these dumpsters from getting too full and to make our roads as safe as possible. And also for the building around here, they, you know, have salt all the way around the outside of the building, so it made it safe where you park. And because I park outside, I don't park in the garage, and so to walk into the door. So again, if you have any questions or concerns, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's go to Doug's yard in St. Peter's. Hi, Doug.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a question about my trees. I had hybrid ash trees in my yard to eliminate the mess of seeds and fruit on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, they've passed away from, I guess, the beetles, ash borer beetle.
Right.
So I'm trying to find what kind of tree. I'd like to get a good-sized shade tree so I get some immediate shade, but what kind I can get now that wouldn't have lots of mess, because it doesn't sound like ash would be a good choice anymore.
No, basically any of the trees are not going to, you know, I don't know how large these trees were, but any tree, regardless of how big you get it, you know, diameter wise or anything else, it's going to take multiple years before you're going to get much shade off of it. So just as long as you're conscious of that fact, if I was going to pick any tree that's more or less fruitless, that has great fall color and kind of a unique type leaf, I would look at the male ginkgo.
Male ginkgo?
Right.
Yeah, I heard the female's not too good.
Yeah, the female, their fruits are, let's put it this way, a little stinky. But the male, yep, as long as it's a guaranteed male, like I said, perfectly wonderful fall color, and leaves are relatively small, so there's not going to be a whole lot of debris. So that would be, if I was going to pick one tree, that's what I would pick. And they're not necessarily fast-growing, but they're not necessarily really slow-growing either.
Can you get those in the area with a fairly sized, trunk size?
Probably, I would think, 3 to 4 inch caliper would be probably as big as you could get.
Okay. And one other question about trees. I, you know, like some maples, but they have those helicopters.
Right.
But I think some maple trees, don't they have a small seed compared to like a silver maple?
Yes. The silver maple is by far the worst. The sugar maple and even the red maple, those have relatively small ones. We've got maples around our house. And, I mean, that doesn't mean that the seeds of these helicopters are not going to germinate, but
right,
they're about probably an inch maybe long and maybe a quarter inch wide. So they're really small.
Okay, and one stronger than the other, or maples all about the same?
If I was going to choose, you know, I'd get probably an improver, a hybrid of the red maple versus a sugar maple.
hybrid of the red maple?
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate your information.
Sure. Yeah, and the maples, I mean, you could get those really pretty good size, but you're going to have a truck come in, you know, that has a tree, and it's going to weigh a lot. And so you're not going to be able to plant it yourself. It's going to take a professional service to do it. So, I would choose a hybrid of the red maple. And we should probably take a break. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Yes, folks, we have some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Questions, comments, concerns, or ideas? Let's head out to Creve Coeur and see what's going on with Norm. Hi, Norm.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
My question is, I thought moles were kind of in hibernation during the wintertime. It looks like we still have a lot of active moles. Is there any suggestions that you have that we can do?
Well, basically the traps. You know, that's what I think is the most effective. And the moles will, you know, go into hibernation once the earthworms stop moving. And the earthworms are not going to stop moving until the ground actually freezes. So the ground is not frozen. Earthworms keep moving. That's a major source of food. So the moles are just going to keep eating.
Oh, okay. You answered my question.
Yeah, so, I mean, the moles, it's a buffet for them. And you think, well, they should be asleep by now. Well, they would like to go to sleep, but no, might as well keep eating. So that's what's happening. So thanks, Norm. And now let's head out to Washington and see what's going on with Maureen. Hi, Maureen.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
And Happy New Year, and I appreciate your show. I have an avocado question. I started an avocado seed. It's about a foot tall, and it has about 5 leaves on it.
Wow.
Yeah, I was surprised because I've tried this before, no luck, and it's still okay, after I brought it in, I started it in the summer, but the leaves are starting to turn kind of brown, most of them, a little bit, but there's a lot of green still. What do you think is the prognosis for this little avocado plant?
Well, I'm assuming you have it in a pot, correct? You don't have it like with toothpicks stuck in it and it's growing in a glass of water?
No, it's actually in a pot, and it must have taken root.
Right.
Because yeah.
So it's going to have a limited life in the indoors. They love it outdoors, but to bring them inside, that's why when you go to, let's say, florists or garden centers or things like that, you don't see avocados for sale, you know, as houseplants. Like, I mean, there'll be lemons and oranges and things like that, but there's never avocados because they don't do so well inside.
Yeah, if I put a light on it, you know, those grow lights, you think that would...
I don't know if it's light, it's a temperature, it's a lot of different factors as well. You could try it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving it a shot. But if the foliage is starting to discolor, then I wouldn't get into a panic. Even if all the foliage falls off, just wait until the weather warms up sometime mid to late April, early May, and stick it back outside and see if it will leaf back out.
You think I'll ever get avocados from it?
No.
Darn. Hey,
well,
I
don't know. Let me put it this way. I don't know how old you are, but
I'm the same age as you. Exactly.
71? Okay. So anyway, from a seed to an avocado that's going to produce, let's say, fruits, you're probably looking at 20 plus years.
I'll forget that.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a quick amaryllis question.
Sure.
I have an amaryllis, a couple of bulbs, and they do great. They send out these great green shoots, but I don't get the amaryllis, the buds.
The flowers.
I don't get the stalk with the bud.
So do you cut the foliage off?
No.
So that's what you have to do. That's what triggers the actual flowering. And as I talked to a caller last hour, basically whenever you cut the foliage off, then it's going to be about any place between 2 and 3 months, then you're going to start to see the flower stalk come up out of the center. But unless you cut the foliage off, you're not going to get it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, cut it back to about 1 to 2 inches above where the top of the bulb is.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. One of the problems with our crazy weather and what impacts, you know, the plant's durability as far as being able to grow here is our freeze-thaw cycle. So every time the ground freezes, even if it doesn't freeze deeply, even if it freezes just near the surface, that's where a lot of the feeder roots on a lot of different kinds of plant material are. And so consequently, those feeder roots, when it freezes and then thaws and freezes and thaws, there's root hairs. And the root hairs are what takes up the nutrients and moisture. And that's what makes the plant material hardier for this region. And some plant material just can't handle it. That's just basically what it is. And that's, you think, and you know, times have changed for sure. The plant material that we couldn't grow outside a couple years ago, we can grow outside now. So, but we don't know. It may reverse back and with a freeze-thaw cycle. Well, let's head over to Virginia's yard. Hi, Virginia. Virginia?
All right. I'm talking about the mold.
Uh-huh.
I got some things from the hardware store that you put in the ground, and they vibrate. And my molds have gone. I haven't had any molds for 3 years.
Great.
And that.
Well, that's, I mean, the vibration is like what sends molds in, you know, different directions. But if you know which way they're coming in and everything else, and you can put them, I don't know how far away from where you put the actual vibrator, you know, it actually creates this impact. But that's great. I'm glad you've had good luck with that.
Yeah, I have not had a mold for, I guess, a good 3 years.
And really?
I don't know about my neighbors. They may have them, but I don't.
Yeah, you're sending them into their yard.
Yeah. But I thought I'd let you can get these. They're like a light thing, and you ask at the hardware store. I got mine at Handyman.
Okay, great.
And that. So anybody's in trouble with molds, they might try that.
And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that work really well. I mean, we've had people call in and say, you know, they put in the mold tunnels, they put mothballs. And some people put chewing gum or do this. And certain things are going to work sometimes, and certain things are going to work, you know, for extended period of time. And it sounds like you've got something that's really worth your time and effort.
I try the lazy way.
Well, it's not lazy. You did some research to be able to find it. So, and well, thanks, Virginia. Greatly appreciate it. And again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Take a look in your lawn. You know, as you walk outside, even on a day like this, it's a little bit cold and everything else. And start looking for the weed circumstances, because those cool season weeds, this is the time when they're really getting more and more robust. They're not going to necessarily explode like they will as the weather warms up just a little bit, but they're going to create major problems for your lawn and other circumstances. You know, your perennials, your even your annual beds, you don't want these things growing there, because you say, well, who cares? My annual bed, I put summer annuals in. By that time, these cool season weeds are already gone because of the temperature's up. But some of the cool season annual weeds, they germinated last August, include henbit, chickweed. That seems to be a ferocious one. The annual bluegrass, there's actually a speedwell, Persian speedwell, and that's one that grows really flat and has small, like smaller than pencil eraser, blue flowers on it. And there's also shepherd's purse, and there's rabbit's foot clover as well. So just understand. So basically, weed infestations, just keep them under control. And the best thing to do is to put pre-emergence down. There's two different types of pre-emergence. One is for the cool season weeds, and one is for the warm season weeds. The warm season weeds, head to your favorite garden center, find out what kind of pre-emergence they have. You're not going to be putting it down now, but as soon as the yellow forsythia is in bloom, that's when you put it down for the warm season weeds, which include spurge, ragweed, purslane, knotweed, and that's where all the crabgrasses and goosegrass and those foxtail, and even the violets. I mean, So we think of violets being perennials. Well, they can be perennials, but also they can be annuals. So if you do have questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Yes, folks. Yeah, you know, the plant material is basically dormant for the most part. Not all of it, but much of it. And this is a good time of year to take a soil sample and have the soil tested to find out what's going on. And basically, what is a soil test going to tell you? It's going to, in general, and just a regular one, you don't have to get one that's really specific, you know, for a circumstance that you may think is a situation and may not be. Just get a regular general fertility test. And what that's going to do is going to measure the pH, it's going to, which is the neutrality and those sort of things. It's going to measure or measure phosphorus, potassium, calcium, organic material, cationic exchange. You go, what does that mean? It doesn't matter. So what you get a, once you get a soil test done, if you don't quite understand what it's talking about, because it's going to say, put this much down for per 1,000 square feet, just go to your favorite garden center. They're more than willing and help, you know, to help you, because that way you're going to make the best decision and they're going to have probably the product that you need. So that's what you need to do is get a soil test done. They're not necessarily totally complicated, but if it's something that you don't understand, once you get the results, go to the experts. There's nothing better than doing that. Let's go to South City now and go into Jay's yard. Hi, Jay.
Good morning, Mike. I have a wonderful stand of bamboo. And my question is, it's grown very well during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The top of it, I'm wondering about pruning it, if you will, because it's now 12, 15, some of it's 18 foot tall.
Right.
So with the ice on it, the tops tend to fall, lean over. And I'm wondering then about just pruning the tops that are falling, that, you know, that are leaning over. Will that, because I've already thinned it out. I pulled the dead out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, is the pruning going to hurt that particular stalk?
Basically, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you have the golden groove bamboo. That's the one that gets about 15 to 18 feet tall. It's just like it's a grass. So it's just like cutting your grass, only you're with your mower, you know, mowing your lawn, then the grass blade can recover. Generally with a bamboo, if you cut the top of it off, that is pretty much going to set the height of what it's going to be. It's never going to push out any new growth higher up along the stalk. So the growth is going to continue at the ground level, but you're not going to see, let's say, side shoots coming off the bamboo stalk. And as far as, you know, bending over during the ice and things like that, it's problematic from an aesthetic standpoint, but it really doesn't hurt it.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because I really enjoy the fact that I get privacy across my back lot by walking out the alley and the dumpsters. And,
right.
Also a good noise factor. It really cuts down on some of the noise, you know, within the city area, shall we say. Okay, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a great spot for the birds to hang out, too, in the bad weather. So if there's not a bunch of evergreens around. But, yeah, talking about ice, you know, on your bamboo, I've got a type of evergreen in a pot. I've been growing it for multiple years. And yesterday when I got up and that ice was on it, it was laying basically almost flat, you know, in the pot, horizontal. And then I just, some people, probably not with this ice storm yet, but later on when we have heavy snows or heavy ice, do not go out and knock anything off the plant material, even if it's weeping over or anything else. The plant should be able to recover on its own. Now, there is, you know, potential for broken branches and something along that line, but don't, like, even take a broom, knock anything off. That could do more damage than what the, let's say, the weeping over as a result of the weight of the snow or ice. So thanks, Jay. Greatly appreciate it. Now let's head to Joe, and Joe lives in St. Louis. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, sir, and I hope you have a great new year.
Same to you.
I was wondering, I put some grass seed on the cemetery lot
and it doesn't get water except for the rain. I was thinking maybe through the winter months with the rain and the snow, that would help the grass seed go down. Would that, am I right or am I wrong?
Basically, the seed's going to be at the surface. What happens is it's all going to be moisture-related, you know, the germination and everything else. The germination of the seed is actually, you know, triggered by soil temperature. So if the soil temperature stays cool after you put the seed down, then it's just going to lay there. And the longer it lays there, then germination rate is going to be less. But there should be adequate moisture. It's not ideal to put it down unless you put it in the fall. That's the best time to put it down because that's when the ground temperature is the warmest because we're coming out of summertime. And then get it to germinate and, you know, to have a circumstance where it's just going to depend upon its ability to survive on how much, you know, rain we have, how much whatever it happens to be moisture-wise. Because grass in general needs about an inch of water, doesn't matter where it's from. That's, now, this is seed that's already germinated and everything else. An inch of water about every 7 to 10 days.
Well, this is a cemetery lot, so it won't get water except for the rain.
Right. So if we get, if the seed is germinated and it's, you know, it's fairly young and we have an extended period and there's no rain, then it's not going to be able to survive.
Yeah, I put it in about a month ago.
Yeah, that's a little bit late, but yes, probably end of August would have been the ideal time to do it. But so have you seen it? Is it up and germinated?
Well, no, it's been, like you said, the ground was cold.
Right.
And we haven't had much rain until just recently.
Right. So I would think because the ground is cold and the rain is going to be cold too, that the seed is not going to germinate during this wintertime.
Okay, would you recommend doing it again, maybe, like you said, in the spring or early spring?
Yeah, not early spring, not too early. Again, wait till the ground warms up, so probably it's going to be, every year is going to be different, but sometime between mid to late April to early May, that's when I'd put the seed down.
Yeah, that's when we get our rains. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, listen, thank you very much, and stay healthy, and I appreciate your time, sir.
Sure. I appreciate you having me on your show. And now let's go to Collinsville and see what's going on with Paul. Paul, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Mike. I have a question about mums. Every fall, I buy some mums and put them in planters to, you know, for decoration on the decks and the patio. And I always hope in the spring that they'll come back again so that I can add them into the soil in beds around. But mm-hmm. they almost never do. And I wondered if there was anything. I usually just leave them in the planters over the winter, if there was anything I could do to enhance the chance.
The best thing, when you're buying them, and I'm assuming they're budded or already in flower, showing color, all that other stuff, they're almost destined to not be able to make it through the wintertime. So in other words, if you really want it, you know, to have them where you can actually have them for a full growing season, you're going to have to get them in, let's say, the springtime and with the other perennials, and do the pinching and do the fertilizing and everything else, then you'll have the flower, you know, you'll have the flowering in the fall, but then also you'll have, you know, robust and healthy plants and be able to take those out of the window boxes or wherever you're growing them and put those into the garden space. But to take, you know, just to take those plastic potted ones, even if they're 6 or 8 inches, it doesn't matter, and take them, you know, and expect them to be able to survive, the chances of that is going to be minimal.
I see. Great. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. So when you buy them in the springtime, you're probably going to get them in a 4-inch pot and let them get about, you know, the plant will be about 3 or 4 inches high. It's just going to be green leaves. Then let it get to be 6 inches, then take 2 inches off. And then every month or so, just pinch off a little bit more. You'll get them bushier. And then by the time we get to mid to late July, early August, no more pinching back at all. But also they need to be fertilized routinely on a regular basis to be able to get the, you know, the flowers in the fall. And they'll be healthy. There's no getting around it.
So. All right. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yep. And 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Here's something related to the perennial mums. Remove about 25% of the stems. Just by chance, I picked up this piece of paper that had that. And the cool season lawns, yes, there are cool season lawns, but no fertilizer this late. So don't do any kind of fertilizing because you could force some growth. and that growth could really be damaged severely because we are going to get some cold weather, I would assume. I don't think the global warming is going to take over and get us all, let's say, really warm or anything else. Make sure that you, again, check your plant material as far as your summer bulbs. If you've got them in the basement or anything else, if you've got caladiums, dahlias, cannas, elephant ears, and just take a look at them. I mean, even if you have to, if you have them in cardboard boxes or bags, take them out and look at them about once every, you know, 4 or 5 weeks and make sure that none of them has started to rot. Because if some of them have started to rot, that rot could move on to the other ones that haven't started to rot at that particular point. So let's head over to Glenn's yard. Hi, Glenn.
I'd like your opinion on whether it's worth investing in LED grow lights for your to winter over plants, get seeds started. I know you can buy racks with bulbs, like long 4-foot bulbs, or
right.
You can buy little rectangular LEDs. Any thoughts on LEDs?
LEDs, you know, I don't know the intensity as far as the plant material, but just regular grow lights, you know, are adequate. If the LED lights are that much more expensive, I don't know how much, you know, they are. I would say it's not necessarily worth it, but, you know, growing things underneath, what you need to do as far as growing things from seed is just make sure that if you're growing potting mix for starting plant material, then put the, you know, put the seeds in that, and then put the grow lights only about 2 or 3 inches above them. So you want to have that. And then ideally, if you want to do it, you can get a heating mat because, again, just like I was talking about with the grass outside, grass seed outside, the seed germination, even inside, the warmer the soil is, the better the germination is going to be. So just realize that that's going to be the case.
Very good. Thanks sure. for all your advice, Mike.
Well, sure. My pleasure. Yeah, I don't grow things from seed necessarily. Some years I do, some years I don't. But I have grow lights in the basement that I actually bring in some tropical plant material that I grow underneath that. This year I brought in some Rex begonias, which I hadn't done before. Rex begonias are the ones with the kind of wild, crazy-looking, colorful leaves. I'm going to see how well they actually end up doing. So let's get another. Well, maybe we should just go ahead and take a break. Mike Miller. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Once again, Mike Miller on KMOX.
We have some lines open in a few more minutes. Let's head to Jim's yard, and he lives in Arnold. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, I had a question about a fig tree. I have a fig tree in my backyard. I've had it for 3 years now. Haven't gotten any figs off it yet. It's got to about 7 foot tall this year. And I was wondering, should I cut that back for the wintertime or just let it go?
Just let it go. And then if anything, any of the branches don't leaf out in the springtime, cut those off. But for the most part, it's going to be just like any kind of fruit tree, and you're going to have to wait for multiple years before you're going to start to get any fruit on it. So it's,
okay.
You just have to be very patient. There's no getting around it.
Okay. All right. Now, should I mulch it around the bottom for the wintertime?
Yeah, probably, 3 or 4 inches of mulch over the crown. So in other words, the top of the root ball. But there's several of them. There's a couple houses in my neighborhood that have them in their backyard. And then if you go into the Hill neighborhood, the Italian neighborhood, you'll see and walk down the alleys and stuff, you'll see quite a few fig trees growing. But they're pretty good size, and they've been there for a while. And you can go to the botanical garden and see them as well.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. And hopefully good spot, really organic. That's what they really like. Let's go now to Dennis, and he lives in Webster. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, I happened to be over at Paramount Kent State Park the other day, and there was a sign about morel mushrooms that said you can't pick them before 1 p.m. Would you have any idea why that would be?
Gee, no, I really don't. No idea whatsoever.
Permanent sign on the trail.
Hmm.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a completely new one to me. So I don't know, maybe they're not fully, you know, up or whatever. So boy, oh boy. But if they've been there for a couple of days, what difference does it make? I don't, they're not going to get any bigger or anything. So who knows? That's a new one on me. So maybe I'll do a little look at research and see if I can find something during the week. Thank you, Dennis. And now let's go to Gary. And Gary lives in Manchester. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Mike. I'm calling in regard to one call. Somebody had a question about a mushroom. And periodically you have those ones when they want to know what they are. Well, I'd like to recommend there's a book which I picked up apparently at a garage sale or something. But it's the Audubon Society Field Guide to North American Mushrooms.
Mm.
It should be available at most any library, I would think, or it could be ordered at a bookstore. But I imagine it's sort of expensive. It's about an inch thick, and it's got pictures and everything, all kinds of reference material on all kinds of mushrooms and other things like that, toadstools, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Well, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, that sounds like a perfect one because, I mean, that purple one that gentleman talked about and that was like really hard, I didn't have a clue on that one. So maybe I'll take a, see if there's a, let's say, an online look at it too. See if I can check it out that way.
I don't have a computer that works anymore, so I don't do any online stuff. So,
well, if you got the book,
But I do have a huge collection of books in various categories.
All right. Well, that sounds perfect.
One being plant material.
That's great. So it sounds like you enjoy them.
I do.
All right. Perfect. Thanks. And now let's go to, that was Gary. Let's go to Mike in South County. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you this morning? Enjoy your show, bud.
Very good.
Yeah. Quick question. I'm getting a new deck put on. I mean, who do you recommend to just do a landscape plan? I know it sounds like a simple answer, but I don't have a real elaborate situation. But, you know, would a nursery plan out some plants or hardscapes or things, or would you just call a landscape designer?
I would say you could go to your favorite garden center and check them out. Now, like the big box stores, those places are not going to offer that kind of service. But any of those, right, let's say, local ones, let's say you live in the city.
Oakville, South County.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's several garden centers, you know, in that direction. So I would just go and check those out and see what kind of services they offer as well. The only time, you know, that I prefer to use, let's say, attached to a specific nursery situation is a lot of times they're going to use the stuff that they have at the nursery as opposed to maybe something that might be a little bit not necessarily better, but just a little different aesthetically or whatever it happens to be. So that's the advantage of using a landscape design service.
Do you have any idea what the cost, just in general, to have a landscape designer, what would I expect to pay somebody to do that?
Yeah, it's tough to say without knowing, you know, the square footage and everything else, but I, you know, for just the design, a lot of times the landscape designers will do the installation as well. So it's really just kind of, you know, it's tough to make even any kind of guess.
I got you. Well, I wish you could do it for me, Mike. I know you're busy, but hey, I appreciate all you do, man. Happy New Year to you, bud. Well,
same to you. Thanks a lot. And now let's see if we can head to Kevin in the city of St. Louis. Hi, Kevin.
I think I might have an answer as to why that morel mushroom 1 p.m. rule is in force. That's right in the middle of Missouri spring turkey hunting season. And during turkey hunting season, you're only allowed to hunt from sunup till 1 p.m. So that's probably a rule in effect to keep less people walking around in the woods while there's guys out there hunting turkeys.
Wow. That sounds like, I mean, it has some, you know, credence to it, but I would have never, ever been able to guess that. So, well, thanks a lot. And that's going to be it for this week, and I greatly appreciate everybody. One thing, you know, you're looking at your own yard, you've had some trees removed or whatever it is. If you're going to get, you know, plant material, make sure that the plant material that you choose – is good for the site and the location that you're going to be planting it. A lot of the mistakes, a lot of the, let's say, downhill spins for the plant material is like selecting a plant because you really like how it looks, but your landscape, your yard, or soil type or anything else is not the ideal soil for it. So it just, you're kind of setting up a scenario this so it's not going to work all ideally for you. And then after you get a plant for the good location, then the installation, if you're doing it yourself, just make sure that you're planting your plant. You dig the hole 3 times the diameter of the root ball, but only about 80% is deep. So in other words, you want the top of the root ball above the surrounding ground. Now, ultimately, you're going to put some mulch over that. But the reason why you want that is if there's any settling at all, then if it settles, except there are some plants that can handle the wet soil situation, but not all that many. And so consequently, you want the crown where the root system and the trunk or the stems meet above the surrounding ground. And if it's not, then you're going to have trouble with it as well. So just realize that planting technique is really important, but also selecting a plant for the individual situation is crucial. So you got to do it. If you don't, it's going to make trouble. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. Happy 2021 to everybody, and enjoy the day.